You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis, chapter 2, verse 1. Genesis in the Hebrew is Bereshith, which means in the beginning. And if you don't understand the beginning, you won't understand the rest of the Bible or the ending. We learned last week in verse 1 that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. That's it. Okay. Now, the Bible tells us that God does everything well. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, it says that God created the heaven and the earth to be inhabited, and that God did not create it void or vain, which means messed up. In other words, he's an artist. So in other words, it was beautiful. But in verse 2 last week, it said, and it was without form and void. Oh my goodness, what happened to it? Well, the translators put a word was there, which was a bad translation. The Hebrew word is tuhu vabuhu, which means it became void and without form. He created it perfectly, no void, no, you know, and then beautiful to be inhabited. Something happened. There was a long period of time between the time he created it and this smashing, this mess. So then we said, well, what in the world happened to the beautiful creation? So we went to 2 Peter chapter 3, 6 and on, and we learned that the word world there means age. And we read of the age that then was, the first earth age, the world, the age that now is, and the age to come, that there are three earth and heaven ages. And that in the first age, there was a beautiful anointed cherub called Lucifer, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel 32, who was so good. He was beautiful, he was a musician, he was anointed, and he was wiser than Daniel, and he got the wonderful position in the kingdom of God to guard the mercy seat. He was good for eons and eons of time. But one day he became pride and said, Isaiah 14, I will set my throne on the sides of the north. I will be God. And he pulled a coup on God and upturned his kingdom. And it says that one third of God's children in that first earth age followed Lucifer. Okay? Now that's documented in Revelation chapter 12. So we learned that there were children of God in the first earth age, but nobody was in the flesh. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says that when you kick the bucket, ere the silver cord breaks, that your spirit returns to God who gave it. That means you were there before. And when Jesus said that to have eternal life, you must be born again, that means born from above. So we were all with God in our spiritual bodies, no flesh. There was no age, there was no death, there was no sin. And Job 38 says that we shouted and danced together with each other. It was heaven on earth. But when Lucifer betrayed God and drew some of God's children, God got so upset, he took it and he smashed the first age, smashed it. The firmament came toppling down. Jeremiah 4 says, and 2 Peter says, the earth was standing in the water and out of the water, and there was not even a bird. It was a mess, uninhabitable. So then, what was God going to do? That was high treason in heaven. Did you know that George Washington found out that four people were planning to assassinate him and he hung them on a gallows? Treason doesn't pay off. So God said, that's high treason. So he should have killed all his children, but he had plan B. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll bring in the second earth age. I'll clean it up. And I will form myself a body, and I will pay their sin debt for them. So that's when we read of Jesus saying, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. Satan's rebellion in the first earth age, God already had plan B, a way, a redemption, a salvation plan. So God cleaned up the earth, put the waters in the oceans, and then he made the fish, and he made the birds, and he fixed the land and the cattle and so forth. And then, on the sixth day, he said, let us make man in our image. Now, most people think this means that specific man, Adam, who was married to Eve. No, they weren't on the scene. There are many different meanings of the word man in the Bible, and this one means humankind, mankind in general. Well, what would mankind in general be? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. They are precious in God's sight, all the races. And even in the manuscripts, male and female, maybe them, is plural. So he made lots of male and lots of female, plenty of them, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And he said, I'm making you in your image, like you look as my beautiful jewels in your spiritual body. That's the way I'm going to form your flesh body. So that's where all the races come from, the six-day creation, Genesis 1, 26. The word man there is Adam, but it doesn't mean a man named Adam. The way you say man in Hebrew is Adam. So everybody understands. So that was all the races. So God called them to be hunters and fishermen and herdsmen, but he did not have a farmer to till the soil. And so God looked at his creation and all the beautiful races, and he said, it is very good. End of racism forever. And now we go to Genesis 2, verse 1.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Okay, now Psalm 121 says God neither slumbers nor sleeps, so we know he doesn't get tired. By the way, that same second Peter tells us that a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. That was a lot of creation. But God wasn't tired, but why did he rest after the six-day creation? Well, when you are an artist, when you get that perfect work done there, you want to prop your feet up on a little mushroom stool and stand back and look at it, whether it's a picture or a song or you've redecorated a room or you just any kind of artwork at all, written a story, whatever you do, you just want to look at it. It's not ego, it just feels good. Wow, that's so pretty. Anybody knows that. Well, a woman can clean her house and she'll just say, oh, it looks good in here, it's so clean. So God was looking at his beautiful creation.
3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that it in it he had rested.
Okay, so he did call for man to have a Sabbath day when he made us in the flesh. He hasn't done that yet, because if you're not careful, you'll be a workaholic. I am prone to do that myself. You want to have one day a week that you say, this is your date with God. This is your Sabbath day. But I will tell you this, that in the book of Colossians, I believe it's chapter 2, that Jesus told us that he nailed the Sabbath to the cross. Now, Jesus has become our Sabbath, so you can rest in Jesus. Mone is the Greek word there, matching in him every day. So every day becomes your Sabbath. And you want to learn how to just go into the secret place of the Most High and Sabbath in the Lord Jesus amidst all of the turmoil that goes on around you.
All his work which God created and had made. 4, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth.
So he's saying, what I've just written, this is how it came down.
When they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, five, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
Oh, there was not a farmer. I mean, you got hunters, fishermen, herdsmen, but no farmer to till the soil. Now, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that the field is the world, okay? So this world is God's vineyard, and it's the field. The spiritual plan here is, since Satan brought sin into the equation, and most of God's children betrayed God. Remember, there was a small group of God's children who were justified, Romans 8, read 28, 29, 30, 31, who were judged and found not guilty. They did not betray God, but most had. So God was making a plan to sow himself in the office of the Son into the field of the world and go in and, like a seed that you plant, let it die, but then let it come back to life and shoot up to bring you everlasting life. You know, Jesus said himself, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can bear no fruit. But if it die, it'll bear much fruit. So this was the plan. This was a different kind of man. In other words, this was different. This was a pedigree. This was a specific man through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And God was going to try to keep that lineage pure, pure seed line, so that Jesus could come through and be that seed of the Word of God, die for our sins, arise from the dead, and bear the fruit. And we're all the first fruits.
Six, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground.
It had never rained yet, and that'll come in good when we get to Noah's flood. It had never rained. What? God's got a sprinkler system. I love it.
Seven, and the Lord God formed man of the dust.
All right, this word man is different from the six-day creation, Genesis 1:26. That first man was humankind in general, all the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God says it's very good. This man, in English, it has an article and it has a particle. I used to teach English. What it means is, it's called in Hebrew, specific man. The specific man, a different kind from the six-day creation, a specific one, specially appointed, chosen, through whom Jesus would come. Everybody got it?
Yes.
And he formed him from the soil. He didn't form the man, he formed him a body. Remember, your spirit was with God. You are a spirit. The spirit is the intellect of your soul. The soul is the real you, your personality, your will. And your soul and your spirit are always together. The first earth ate you in a spiritual body. Now he's forming everybody a body. So he creates a body for the specific man through whom Jesus will come. I bet it was a good body, don't you?
Yes.
And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Nefesh. Okay. So say we came from God, and God is the breath. So he sends the spirit coupled with a soul into that flesh body. Now you're a person, okay?
Yeah. And man became a living soul.
Look at that. You can cry, why, why, and live. But this one wasn't crying because he was a grown man.
Eight, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden.
God loves a garden.
And there he put the man whom he had formed. Nine, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight.
Now, all of these trees are in the Hebrew etz. As scholars, as disciples, as people to witness God's word, see, you want to know Genesis 1, 2, and 3 so you can share this, because it's the mystery of God. If you don't get it, you'll never get anything. Etz in the Hebrew, and it means a literal tree. It's real trees. Pineapple tree, palm tree, coconut tree, orange tree, etc. Okay, got it? Real trees. And he's making them for food.
And good for food.
That's what I said.
The tree of life also in the midst of the garden.
Ah, the tree of life in the midst of garden, that is Jesus. Now, when God said, let us make man in our image, he was talking to us in the spiritual body. I'm going to make you a flesh body to look like you did then. In other words, if you were onyx there, you're going to be onyx now. If you were pearl there, you're going to be pearl now. If you were red there, you're going to be red now. And he said, I'm going to send all of you with a memory forgotten, because see, there were some did not betray God. Romans 8 talks about those justified, already judged, the elect. And they are sent out to be light bearers, truth bearers. But he said, I'm going to let everybody, I'm erasing the memory whether you betrayed me or not. And I'm sending you out for one reason in the second earth age. All of you listen, one reason. First of all, accept the elect. The elect are sent to be truth bearers. You are sent here to choose life. That's Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. So right there in the garden, right in the specific man's face, is Jesus.
And the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
And that is the devil, or choose the devil. So God puts it right there. This is your choice. And when God sent you through your mother's womb, you were here to someday meet somebody who would tell you, choose life, choose, or choose death. Some choose death, some choose the devil. By the way, Revelation tells us that the devil has many play actor names. He's even coming back as the Antichrist. But he's called in Revelation dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. He's not a dragon, but he sure puts out a lot of fiery lies out of his mouth. He's not a serpent, but his poison will bite you and take you to hell. And Satan and the devil. So just keep that in mind. So right here in the garden, right offhand, before we go any further. Now remember, we've got the six-day creation over there, and they are procreating because the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and they're going to need redemption too. But this is where the redemption plan's coming in. So right here in this special place, and we got Jesus and we got the devil. Choose life.
Amen.
We're a pro-life.
Amen. Yes.
10, and a river went out from Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. 11, and the name of the first is Pison. That is it. It compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold.
Gold.
12, and the gold of that land is good.
Remember Saddam Hussein had bathtubs of gold?
There is bedlam in the onyx stone.
Jewels.
13, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia.
Africa.
And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria.
Assyria, whoa.
And the fourth river is Euphrates.
That would be where Iraq is, our modern day Iraq. So that's where this original garden was, right there. Do you see how Satan has messed it up?
Yes.
That's where it was.
15, and the Lord God took the man and put it into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
So see, all of those other trees were real trees, and they were for food. God is good. But the metaphor comes in the tree of life, Jesus. And then he's there to say, you know, I'm the purpose of this. Don't even touch. Later on, we're going to find next week that they're told not even to touch, which is an interesting word in the Hebrew, naga, means to lie within a sexual act. Don't even touch the knowledge, tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you participate with that tree, then, in other words, you will die. Now, it doesn't mean the very day, because we know that later on they are going to participate, but what it means, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. You can't live over 1,000 years in the flesh. Remember, we're going to see as we go through Genesis that Methuselah lived 960-something years, but he didn't make the 1,000 because of the sin. Can't live 1,000 years.
18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him.
Now you say, well, now wait just a minute. The six-day creation had male and female, each one plural. We had lots of red and yellow, brown, black and white. Go take your choice. Why didn't God just go over there and get one of those women given to the man? Because chapter 1, he said, the seed is in itself. And he said, do not mix the seed. In other words, if you were the black jewel, stay with black. If you were the white jewel, stay with white. If you're the red jewel, stay with red. And each one of those, he said, don't mix the seed. God loves purity. Everything is so beautiful. When you start mixing, you mess it up. But this man had to be pure and holy. And don't you think the devil will fight this seed line to pollute it? Because Jesus is coming through it. So it had to be a man after his own kind. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. If you're trying to have a relationship, for God's sake, it's not just the color of your skin, but the color of your heart, your purpose, your passion, your personality, your understanding of God. All of this is so essential. But there was no one else. There was only the 60-day creation, and then this man who was created after the seventh day. So what's God going to do?
19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them.
Adam, give him a name. He calls him Adam. Now he's calling him the man Adam. I want all of you to understand the Hebrew says Eth Ha Adam. Will you say that? Eth Ha Adam. It means the specific man Adam. Not the six-day creation. This is a different one. That lineage would be through whom Jesus would come.
And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
Let's see. I'm going to call you horse. Ooh, what are you doing mooing over there? I'll call you a cow. Good Lord, what are you? Aardvark.
20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead of thereof.
Okay, he gives his beloved sleep. Remember, he said the seed is in itself. So he puts the specific man, Adam, Eth-ha-Adam, Adam, to sleep, and he takes a rib. Now, that's what the English says, okay? So all of you are thinking, underneath your arms, on the left side and right side, you're touching your rib cage and say, oh, this is what he did. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say rib, it says curve, C-U-R-V-E. Have you heard of the helix curve? DNA. All right. Then he sews up, he takes the curve from the man, and he sews up where from that place from whence he took the curve. But you see, it says the rib from his side, the curve. But the man Adam has four sides: left side, right side, back side, front side. Did he take all of the curve? He left a little, but he took most of the curve. What's he going to do with this curve?
And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man.
Rib means curve.
Made he a woman.
Okay, that she's built. Okay, there you go.
And brought her unto the man.
Can you imagine that? You wonder how God brought this woman to the man. He's formed her now. He took Adam's curve, made a woman, left a little curve there, and brought her. Here's your woman, me Tarzan, you Jane.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.
Now, remember the first chapter said the seed is in itself. Everything that you need begins with a seed. So Adam, the man Adam specific, needed a like-minded mate of kindred spirit of the same kind. They were wonderful ones, but they're not the same kind. So the seed is in yourself. Plant a seed of yourself, and you will draw to you your own. Just a little beautiful advice there for you. I hope that helps you there. That's interesting. Now we know that as we go along, that man comes from the woman. But the first, the specific woman, this special pedigree here, this special lineage, messianic lineage, the woman came from the man.
24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Okay, so when it says leave your father and mother, it doesn't mean you don't love them. But you've got a new family now. You've got a new purpose now. You've got a new mission now. Jesus is the bridegroom and you're the bride. You're to cleave to him and you're to become one unit. Now it's interesting. Here is the man Adam, Eth Ha'adam. He's lost some of his curve. So God brings the woman. She doesn't yet have a name. We will call her Eve later on. And she comes and they cleave together. Cleave means like you sticky tape. You know that sticky tape? You stick to it. And now for one blissful, intimate moment, the curves are right where they ought to be. Fitly joined together. And they become one flesh. A baby is born. And the baby is one flesh.
25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
The man Adam and the woman were not ashamed because they had not sinned. They had not gone yet to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were pure of heart. And God clothes us and promises those of pure in heart that we will be clothed with his glory. It is true that Revelation 19 says that we're going to wear a gown that is woven of the righteous acts we do after salvation. But ultimately, God will clothe us with his glory. If sin had not entered, there would never be any embarrassment about the human body. It is a majestic work of art. Look how it functions, how it works. Right now, you're listening to me and your body is just working away, and that's because God did that. But because of pornography and because of the way Hollywood and the filth and corruption has twisted the male and female, everybody's ashamed, and so we wear our clothes. But they weren't ashamed because they had not yet sinned. You take a sweet little baby then, and you can have a room full of people, and it's time to change his diaper, and he doesn't mind a bit. You change the diaper and all the people are looking, he just said, go, 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 go. He's so happy. He's not ashamed because he's pure. He's pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so now the man Adam has a woman after his own kind. And now we've got to start the lineage, guard the lineage, so the Lord Jesus Christ can come through. We'll begin right there next time. I hope you are blessed. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I'm teaching you that in Genesis right now. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Ms. Sherry. That was a great word. I mean, deep calls to deep.
Deep calls to deep. Amen. Thank you, Scott.
Amen. Okay, our question today. How can one count 3 days and 3 nights from Good Friday to Sunday?
You can't to save your life. As a little girl, I tried to figure that out. What we need to remember, and I teach this on Passover, as that on the week that Jesus was crucified, there were two Sabbaths, the regular Saturday, and then there was the Passover, which is called a high Sabbath, and he was crucified on a Wednesday. You must also understand that the days began at sundown. So from Wednesday sundown, when they took him off the cross, to Thursday sundown is one day. Thursday sundown to Friday sundown is two. Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is three. And then somewhere in the early Sunday morning, he arose. That's your 3 days, and that's your three nights. I'm sorry, Good Friday just isn't correct, but, you know, it's just to each his own.
Okay. It is, right? Okay, our next question. Were those actual trees in the garden?
All were actual trees. Etz is the Hebrew word, as I said today. All were like banana trees, palm trees, coconut trees, orange trees, mango, etc. Pecan trees, except the tree of life, that was Jesus, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was the devil, that old serpent, the dragon, and Satan. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is God's stuff?
The Lord is dressing you in the mantle of his word. Follow the part of his word revealed unto you. Operate only within the mandated territory of his word given unto you. Do not let the enemy draw you out unto ground that has not been prepared and sanctified. Just as the enemy attempted to get Nehemiah down from the wall, he will also do the same to you.
That is so great. I'm telling you, the word actually closes with the word, doesn't
he?
That's his glory.
Heart.
The word is his glory. Thank you, Scott Mercer. That
welcome.
Is beautiful. Gather your sick loved ones around. I'm going to pray in the anointing for those who are sick. But first of all, let me pray for you if you're not saved. Pray this with me, mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash away all my sins.
Wash away all my sins.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
And fill me.
And fill me.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And help me to be a blessing to the kingdom of God.
And help me be a blessing to the kingdom of God.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
In his name.
In his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, Scott is going to give you my telephone number, so if you accepted it, I invite you to call and leave that message on my answer machine. Speak clearly so I can pray for you. And now, let's pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Into the stomach area, we ask the healing of the lining of the stomach, where there has been tears there or fibroid tissues there, that the stomach be repaired and healed and at ease in the name and the power of Jesus. All the way down the spine, from the brain stem on down to the tailbone, every vertebrae get in place, get in line, be perfectly aligned, be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah, perfect alignment. Backbone, in Jesus' name. Nerves, be unpinched. Blood, be purified. Food poisoning, be gone. Vitality, strength, be renewed. Depression, be gone in Jesus' name. Leukemia, be gone. Cancer, be gone. Pancreas, be healed. Liver, be healed. Gallbladder, be healed. Hearts beat. Lungs breathe. Eyes see. Ears hear. Legs walk. Bones be made strong. Live. With Jesus' stripes you will heal. He sent his word and healed you. In the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you and give you glory. Now, when Scott gives you my telephone number, you might like to call and tell me that you were healed. I was healed. I've been healed many times. I had cancer twice, and I've had times when I was dying with my heart, and I lived. And just this past week, I was so sick. I think I had some kind of food poisoning, and I've prayed and put the oil on, and Scott's been praying for me, and Angie's been praying for me, and all of a sudden, I mean, that discomfort is gone. I couldn't bear it anymore. It would have taken me out, but I'm healed. God loves you just as much as he loves me. The only thing with me is I'm like a little child. I believe him. You believe him, too. He sent his word and healed you. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. Invited on Sundays to come to my school for the radio broadcast 5 p.m. each Sunday. Tell others of the radio program Trumpet of Truth. You can get it WMIEFM.com on demand. If you missed the first lesson, go back and get it. You need these first six chapters of Genesis so you can be a worthy steward of the Word of God. You need to get every word memorized and like a real scholar, like a professor, so that you can share the mystery of God. I want to give a special shout out of thanks to Scott Merson, our announcer, and my twin friend for the wonderful work he does for his pure heart in loving God and helping other people and his beautiful family there. We appreciate you, Scott. God bless you. Thank you very much. And until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock. And I want to tell you, don't forget that Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, this truth is not given you to keep, so go and tell. But until next time, this is your friend, Sherry Medlock, saying, I love you. God bless you. God make his face to shine upon you. God be gracious unto you. God heal you, God guide you, God prosper you, God make a great soul winner out of you. And I can't wait until we gather together again next time to worship our Lord as a family unit, to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
A place. your symphony. The deepest oceans, rising mountains, how they sing your symphony. Let the earth be the Lord, and all the people of the world stand in awe, stand in awe. My heart's ovation,
we're listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour aloud, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory.
Wake me up inside.